I'm going to test you right now. Do you know what happened 500 years ago? The Reformation. That was when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door, and it revolutionized the church. And in that, we discovered that it's Christ only, Scripture only, faith only, grace only, by which we are to follow and live our walk with Jesus Christ. That's one of the things I want to praise the Lord for this morning. I'm going to also praise the Lord for last week we had a special gift offering for Minnehaha Academy, and it was $916. So thank you for your generosity. Also in the second service today, Lucy Abigail Zika will be dedicated to the Lord, so you can start praying for her on a regular basis. We have a long list of people with needs in our congregation. I'll go through them fast, but we're going to ask you to pray throughout the week. We want to pray for Jerry Nyberg as he heals from his fall, and his back has a fracture in it. We want to pray for Ed Nadison as he continues to heal from his back surgery. We want to pray for Peggy Ridgway, who lost her sister this week. We want to pray for Ruth Sumner's daughter, Karen, as she is in the hospital. She's home now, but she was having complications with diabetes and blood pressure. Julia Herberg and her baby for healing as she has been born and just needs to put on some weight. Ashley and Gracie as they continue to have treatment. And Skip Olquist as he goes to the cities to have another procedure. So that's probably not all of the needs, but we're going to go into a time of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that Martin Luther, 500 years ago, helped us to realize the truth of Scripture once again, that it's only through you by which a man can be made right with you. And so, Lord, help us to live that out daily and to share it with others. And Lord, I thank you for the generosity of this congregation, for the gift to Minnehaha Academy. And Lord, we lift up Lucy to you at this time. We would pray that as she is dedicated to you, that she would come to faith as early as possible, that she would live her life to follow and serve you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, there are many people in our midst that need special love, and we are praying for that love that you can only give to them. We pray for Jerry as he heals from his fall. We pray that his back would come to full strength. And Lord, we pray for Ed as he heals from the back surgery. Give him wisdom each day on how to follow you and serve you as our minister of visitation. And Lord, we surround Peggy at this time as she is saddened by the loss of her sister. We're thankful that her sister knew Christ. We would pray for the service to be a celebration of that faith in Christ. And Lord, we pray for Ruth Sumner's daughter, Karen, as she is at home. We pray that there'd be no more complications, that she'd be back to full strength and health. And for Julie Herberg and her baby, we pray for the baby to put on weight so that she can come home as soon as possible. Pray for Skip as he has this heart procedure. Pray that it would go well tomorrow. And for Ashley and Gracie as they continue to have procedures and therapy to bring healing to their bodies, we would pray that that would come to complete fruition in their lives, Lord. And Lord, now as we are about to look at your word and understand it, we pray that we would grasp it and hold on to it in such a way that our lives would be different. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now I encourage you to stand as we have the reading of Scripture.
And we're reading through 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 46. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, go again seven times. And at the seventh time he said, behold, a little cloud and a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while the heavens grew black and clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
We are now on the third Sunday looking at the life of Elijah. And as I prepared this message, I thought of a title for this message. It was Elijah, Man of Prayer. And I thought, that sounds like a good title for a biography. And then I thought, what would be the title of my life? What would be, you know, Darren, a man of hair? Thanks. Earl. That kind of just destroyed the whole mood. But anyways, I thought about that, and I'm not necessarily going to give you my title, but I thought, what would be each of our titles for our life? And so I want you to think just for a second, what would be your biographical title? I'm not going to have you share it with other people, but what would be the title you would give your own life? Because I want you to think about that throughout the message, and hopefully we'll come to a conclusion that you're comfortable with. You know, again, Martin Luther would be a man of reform or something like that. But what would be your title? And the reality is this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I think it might be a different title. Can you agree with that? Because reality is we are all dependent on God, are we not? And it's God who makes us who we are. And he wants to do more in our lives than we could ever hope or imagine. And so as we are still on this journey, let God form your biography. Let him be the one who determines what people will say about you at the end of your life. If you recall, Elijah in 1 Kings 18 had just had one of the greatest victories known to humankind. He had stood before 450 prophets of Baal and defeated them. Of course, he wasn't alone. If we remember, he was with God and God was with him. And we learned last week that me plus God means I'm never in the minority. And so Elijah was strengthened by the presence of God in his life. What we discover in today's passage is something amazing. You see that we as human beings, when we have a great victory, there's a temptation for us to take all of the credit. To say, look what I have done. I accomplished this. And we want everyone to kind of celebrate and give us the credit. But that is not what Elijah does here. Elijah keeps his focus on God. So much so that he has to go up into the mountain, Mount Carmel, and spend time alone with God. He doesn't drop the ball. He needs to go and spend time in prayer. Elijah, we'll see, finds himself standing once again in the presence of King Ahab. Here, there has been 3 years of drought, and now God is going to change all of that. Elijah reminds King Ahab that God had promised to bring rain. He says, go up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of the rushing of rain. Elijah, though, could have stopped there, but he doesn't. Whereas King Ahab goes off to eat and drink, Elijah goes up into the mountain to pray. And I think this is a prayer of humility and dependence, of trust. And it says, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. I don't think this is a casual prayer. This is a prayer of surrender and submission. He is praying like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you remember in Luke 22, it says this, and this is Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, I'm going to make a confession here. I've never prayed like that. I've never prayed like Jesus. I've never prayed like Elijah. I've never trusted God that much. And I want to make a guess, neither have you. I mean, these were prayers of complete surrender to God. Prayer, of all of the spiritual disciplines, is actually one of my personal weak spots. I believe in prayer. I do pray, but I trust far more in myself than I do in God. I function as I think many people do in the Western civilization. Prayer is not the first thing, it's the last thing. It kind of goes like this. Try everything, and when that fails, try prayer. When it should be just the opposite, shouldn't it? And we see with Elijah, it is just the opposite. One of my first winters that I was here, I had the privilege of going ice fishing with a bunch of the men here in the church. And we went out to Lake of the Woods, and we drove about 5 miles out onto the lake. We drilled the holes, we put up the wind huts, and we fished. We didn't catch much, but we still had a great time. We enjoyed ourselves. But after the time we fished, we decided, well, it's time to go home. We packed up, got everything in the truck, and the truck would not start. Apparently, with the 20-plus below zero weather, the diesel fuel had started to solidify. And so we were trying to figure out how to get the truck started. And so we put boards around the engine and even got out a blowtorch and tried to heat up the engine a little bit. And we sat there and nothing was happening. And finally, I made the suggestion, maybe we should pray. And miracle of all miracles, we prayed and the truck started. Now, I'm very thankful that God answered the prayer, but I'm sitting there going, why didn't I make that suggestion a little earlier? Because by then, we were all pretty cold and miserable. What if we started with prayer? How would things be different in our lives? How would things be different in our world? Elijah, a man of prayer, gives us a picture of what and how we should live. That we should earnestly seek God and cry out to God as if it's just as important as the air we breathe. So the question I have this morning that I want to wrestle with is, what happens when we pray? And I stumbled across these seven things that happen, suggested by Paul David Tripp in his book, New Morning Mercies. And I expounded on them because I think it fits the text very well today. The first thing that happens when we pray is we acknowledge God's presence and existence. This is what we see with Elijah. He could have celebrated the victory. He could have patted himself on the back. But his response was to recognize God for the victory and the promise that was fulfilled or was about to be fulfilled, that rain was coming. Acknowledging God is the true essence of prayer. It's where we need to begin. It's how Jesus even taught us to pray. He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven." It's saying, "God, you are there. You're real. You hear my cry." We should start prayer by recognizing God is there for all of us. The second thing that happens is prayer bows to the glory of God. As we have already seen, Elijah physically got in a unique position. He got in the posture of one who bowed himself down to the earth with his face between his knees. Now, today it's popular in the church to say, "Lift your hands, praise the Lord." But one thing we don't really encourage people to do is bow. To bow and recognize that God is far greater and more glorious than we could ever imagine. And last week I talked about this in the message that I gave, but we did talk about this in our staff meeting. We talked about how God is so great that even in the Jewish culture, they did not even say his name, that they said the name Adonai as a replacement for Jehovah and Yahweh. We've lost a high view of God. And I think our prayer lives could be revolutionized and changed when we start to recognize the glory God deserves when we pray. Tragically, we live in a culture today where the name of God that is mostly said is OMG. But we don't recognize the greatness and awesomeness of God. But Elijah does. Elijah sees God for who he truly is. The third part of prayer is that it is an act of surrender and submission. I've already talked about this, but Jesus said, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Today we come to God in prayer, mostly telling him what we want him to do for us. What if we better understood that prayer is giving up our plans and trusting that God knows better than we do in our life situations? Prayer is not meant to be a time where we bring to God our list and ask God to fulfill it. Prayer truly is about letting God have his way in our lives. Number four is prayer is a way of saying, "I'm on God's side. I'm coming alongside. I'm positioning myself as a partner with God." Like, really, we can do that. It's recognizing that there is a real battle going on in this world. That there is a battle between God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world, which often includes our own selfish desires. In prayer, we're not coming to God asking him to make our lives easy and comfortable, although I think that's what we often think. Prayer is actually coming to God asking him to align us with his kingdom. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I think prayer is about seeking his kingdom, aligning ourselves with him. This is what Elijah is actually doing on the mountain of Carmel. The fifth thing is prayer is resting in God's provision. And this is where maybe I struggle the most when it comes to prayer. Busyness. the hectic pace of life. I try to make things happen, do things on my own efforts. But prayer is resting in God's provision. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And I think this is what Elijah is doing on the Mount Carmel. He's resting. Resting in God's provision. He's waiting for rain. I'm sure if I were there, I would be complaining to God. It's like, okay, God, I won. I helped you beat the prophets. Isn't it time to send rain? But Elijah waits. And in the text, we see he waits a long time, actually, because he waits and checks seven times for the rain as he's waiting. Prayer is simply sometimes waiting for God to act. And we have a hard time with that, don't we? The sixth thing is prayer celebrates God's grace. Finally, after waiting so long, we read in verse 45 this, in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Keep in mind that this is a moment of grace. 3 years of drought. The ground had become hardened, and it was a special moment in which God fulfills his promise, and grace rains down from heaven. And if we look at Elijah's response to the rain, he gathers up his garment, and he runs to Ahab, to the entrance of Jezreel. And this is not Elijah boasting in himself. This is Elijah boasting in the Lord. And you can imagine him saying, see, I told you God would send rain. It's just like he promised. We need to have that same view of God, that God fulfills his promise, that we can glorify and honor his name and be thankful and rejoice in his provisions. How often we ask for something in prayer and then forget to tell God that we're even thankful when he answers us. The last Wednesday before Thanksgiving, one of the things I'm going to be doing is during Awana, I'm going to be giving a short devotion about the 10 lepers that Jesus heals. And if you remember, only one of them comes back to say thank you to Jesus. I wonder how thankful we really are when God answers our prayers. Are we like the 10% that actually say thank you? Or are we like the 90% that we move on to other prayer concerns? Prayer celebrates God's grace. And the seventh is that prayer commits oneself to God's work and promises. One would think that after we've experienced and witnessed God's answer in his grace, that we would develop a life of prayer, that we would repeat those first six steps of prayer again and again, that we would find it easier to acknowledge God's presence, bow before his glory, surrender ourselves more readily to him, choose to be on his side, rest in his provision, and celebrate his grace. Yet that is our human struggle, isn't it? We find it far easier to give ourselves credit for the results than acknowledge that God did it all. Unlike Elijah, a man of prayer, we want prayer to be something we do on our terms and our time. We want to say about ourselves that I did it rather than God did it. But that is not what we discover in today's text. We humans really struggle to see ourselves in a position that we desperately need God to intervene and work in our lives and our circumstances. Isn't that amazing? Yet, what if we could learn to become men or women of prayer like Elijah and Jesus? What would and could God do as a result? What if we learned to pray as if God was in control and we were not? One of the beautiful aspects about following Jesus is that he is the one who writes our biography if we let him. We can choose to write our own biography, and I'll guarantee it will be a disaster. But if we let Jesus write our biography, something beautiful happens. And I write this more to myself than to you, but in a sense, what if we let that biography be determined by a prayer life that surrendered and submitted each and every day to the will of God? Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that prayer is the difference maker. It's not up to us. It's up to you to work in and through us through the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge that when we stop and pause and pray. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you answer our prayers. Not always the way we want, but in truth, that's a good thing. Because what you want from our lives is something far greater. And so, Lord, as we consider the biography you want to write with our lives, help us all to start with prayer, not as the last resort, but as the first thing we do each and every day. We pray in Christ's name.